good to see you tonight. Let's take a hymn book and sing page 661. Let's stand as we sing Little as Much When God is in It. 661. On the first now, in the harvest field now ripened, there's a work for all to do. The voice of God is calling to the heart.
On this cold Florida winter evening, glad to have a warm building. I was glad to have a warm house last night. Looking forward to a great, great service. If it's anything like these other services have been, it will deliver to be sure. We know the Lord always will if we're prepared and ready. I'm going to ask Brother Manning. I got that right. Brother Manning, come on ahead and lead us in prayer, if you will, to start the service. He and his family visiting this morning. We're down for a 50th anniversary service at the church you used to pastor in Port Charlotte. Is that correct? But the biggest claim to fame around here is this is Joy Clemens' father right here. And my girls are they're big fans of Miss Joy. They really got connected with her when she was here. And, of course, Jared and Joy, missionaries to England out of this, well, not out of this church, but, of course, supported here in Missions Conference a couple of years ago. So we're glad to have Brother Manning and his family open us in prayer, if you would, please, sir.
Let's bow together. Father, you're so good to us. We're rejoicing tonight with all we've even heard today and how you stirred our hearts. And Lord, we want to praise you tonight already. I know it's an answer to prayer. What you've done through faith promise giving here with the commitments this morning, we ask you to continue tonight to bless those that are going to share their testimonies and preach the word to us. Encourage our hearts, strengthen our faith, and be glorified in all we do. And we ask in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. Maybe see you. Thank you so much. Well, we're going to have some young ladies come and sing a song that will be a blessing to your heart. I believe this will touch your heart. And Brittany Zalagi and Jordan Westbrook are going to sing, and Marie Lee Wilson is going to interpret as they sing the song, Thank You for Giving to the Lord. So you be thinking about the decision that you made this morning and little card that you filled out. One day, God will show you the fruit of your labors and your investment. God bless you, ladies, as you come and sing. Amen.
You teachers that teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Giving to the Lord, I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you. Remember the time missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today.
Microphone was on. Okay. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? All right. All right. I tell you what I'm going to do right now. Brother Paul, if you can get you some help, I'm going to do this right now. Some of you this morning, maybe everyone here got that, but praying through the 1040 window. Praying through the 1040 window. If you wanted one of those and did not get it, Brother Morelli left some of these with us. If you'll raise your hand, the ushers will get to you as quickly as possible. We only have a couple working this, but okay, right here. And on down here toward the front, whoever is going to get down here toward the front, and over here on this side. Anybody in the choir? We're in need of some in the choir. Okay? All right. That's all you have left? Oh, that's something else. Here, let me give you this one, because I've got one. How many? I've got three here. There's three right here. Anybody got any more left? Ernie, you got any? Okay. Okay, we got more out here that need them? Okay. Here you go. Ernie, you got some? Right back through here. I think this is it. I think we got it now. All right, here we go. Here we go. All right. Boy, now I've got something you need to raise your hand on as eagerly as you did that. If you did not get a faith promise card this morning, I want you to take one tonight. If you were not in here for whatever reason, you did not get a faith promise card this morning. And you'd like to have one tonight. I want you to get one. And if you're wanting one tonight, you already know the deal. You know what that's all about. And so if you will, you can put them in the offering tonight. You can drop them in the offering tonight. Already more have come in, and I have some here in my hand already tonight. And we're right at 215,000 now. And so that's a good thing. And boy, if it going up to 220, so forth like that, that would be a wonderful thing. I talked with the missions committee a little bit about this, but I would like to go ahead, and since the faith promise is what it is, I'd like to go ahead and do God Bless America Crusades. Would that be okay with you guys? Okay with you guys? Okay. God Bless America Crusades is a revival ministry that you know, if you're here in church much, you know about it, that's particularly trying to bring back citywide meetings in this country. And we're trying to bring it back not by talking about it, but by doing it. And so that always needs support, but that's not easy support to raise. It's kind of like single ladies. I always try to have single ladies at our missions conference, because most churches are reluctant to support single ladies, and I don't know why that is. They've got their own philosophy about that, but very, very effective people on the mission field. Single ladies are very effective people on the mission field, and we have found that to be true. I've never had a single lady come home from the mission field because of a problem on the field. Had a lot of men come home because of problems on the field. But never once had a single lady come home because of problems on the field. And so, anyway, difficult to raise funds for this. Difficult to raise regular support. But if you would be in favor of this revival ministry, and it was really brought pointedly to my heart when Brother Maruelli said, I was saved in a citywide meeting. And he was saved in a meeting of a fellow, he did not mention his name, and I do not know who it was, but I do know who it was. And some of you have seen him on television, and he's taken a little different direction now than what we are. He's embraced really other religions, especially Catholics, in a way that we're not against anybody, but just that confuses the plan of salvation. His name is Jack Van Impe. And Jack Van Impe was a friend. He was a good friend. And so I know that meeting. I know other people who were saved in that meeting. That's really the last person that we have had in our circles. And other people have done it in other ways, but in our circles, that was the last one until now, what's being done with God Bless America Crusade. So if you'd be in favor of doing that, would you raise your hand and say amen? Amen. Well, that's not a very good vote. You don't generally raise your hand, do you? Okay. Would you raise your hand and say amen? Okay. All right. Very good. Very good. The young ladies that just sang, Brittany was on this side over here on your right. And she's going to the country of Romania. Brother Manning, we'd just love to have you support our girl who's going to Romania. We'd just love to have your church take her on. And Brother Prine, I don't know whether your church supports or not. Does Ripley Baptist Temple support you? They don't. We'd love to have your church. You tell your dad, we need him to take her on. We need him to take her on. And of course, Marie was interpreting. Well, not a great job of interpreting. And in the middle, she's going to Honduras, so Brittany going to Romania. And Marie, where are you going to go, Jordan? Jordan, just wherever your husband goes? looks to me like you'd go to Jordan. I mean, that's, you know, that's what it is. But anyway, God will deal with her about that and open up that to her. But I believe she's open to whatever God wants her to do. And we're thankful for that. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I don't even know what I'm doing up here. But I'm trying as pastor, I'm trying to raise money to get the gospel around the world is what I'm trying to do. And trying to get that accomplished. What are we going to do next?
Testimonies.
Okay. Julie Alexander, come up here. And just have a seat right on the front. Before you come up, just have a seat right up here on the front. Marie's going to come sing for us. She's not going to give her testimony. I'll give you just a word. Just a word of testimony tonight, okay? And then I want you to sing. She's going to sing So Send I You. You got it? Y'all got it? So Send I You? Just out of the hymn book. Out of the hymn book, So Send I You. But she's singing the words, not the words that are in our hymn book. Now, if you want to look at the words in the hymn book, you can look at the words of the hymn book. What page is it? Look it up. It's So Send I You. It's under the S's in the index. And the words have been changed to sort of take a lot of the price that is paid by missionaries out of this. But if you want to look at that and compare to what she's going to sing tonight, she's going to sing the original words that were in there. And I asked her to do that. So give us a word. Give us a word, and then sing for us. I don't like it when everything's going on behind me, and I don't know what's going on.
I don't know the words.
You know the words, okay. And then Julie's going to come immediately after she sings, okay? All right, here we go.
Okay. Wow, I was trying to think of which testimony to share. God, as I say, has been working overtime in my life, and just been neat as miracle after miracle, but one of the neat miracles that's happened in the last couple months, actually, was in regard to Lesho. If you were here Thursday night, I mentioned briefly Honduran Sign Language is not American Sign Language. They have their own, as most countries do, and their sign language is called Lesho, L-E-S-H-O. It's an acronym, just like A-S-L is an acronym, and so I do not know Lesho. I'm not fluent in that, but I am fluent in ASL and Spanish, and I had no intentions of learning Lesho prior to arriving in Honduras because I learned Spanish through immersion, being around a bunch of Hispanic people, going to a Spanish-speaking church, working in Spanish activities. I learned Spanish through immersion. I learned sign language same exact way, going to deaf activities in a deaf church and et cetera. So for me to learn Lesho, I didn't exactly see a church of Honduran deaf people around. So I had no intention of learning it until I got there and then being immersed in the Honduran sign language. Well, as often happens, God had other plans. And in October, I came across a CD of multiple different sign languages from other countries. You would print out, it had about 200 pages of Honduran sign language, 6-7 signs a page, and I thought, should I even buy this? And the reason why I thought that is because knowing American sign language, signs change really quickly, much faster than spoken words change. And knowing that the author of this CD has already passed away, I thought, I wonder how many of these signs are obsolete. And so without having someone who knows Lesho to be able to say, oh, that one is still used, this one's not, I definitely thought about whether to buy it. Well, felt God gave me the go-ahead. God told me, really, I need you to buy this CD. So I did, but it kind of sat on my desk for a couple weeks. I thought, what's the point? These are words. Well, how do you put words in sentences? Every language has its own grammar structure, as does sign language. So I didn't really look into it until I got a text from the leader in our deaf ministry, and he says, hey, guess what? We have a visitor. Well, that's not too uncommon, but he said, she's from Honduras, and she knows sign language. And I thought, now that is a little uncommon. And so I said, well, let me find out who this lady is. So I take her out to dinner and find out that this woman, not saved, never been to church in her life before coming to my church. And her family was Catholic. And yes, she was from Honduras. And I said, now, I've heard you know sign language. Tell me more. She said, well, actually, I learned sign language from a university in the capital city of Honduras and interpreted for 3 years in that university and was given an honorary certificate in Honduran sign language, Lesho. And she said, and I had no plans of coming to church, but my husband and I just moved to Baltimore. He got a job, and I didn't have any friends. So my mom, remember she's Catholic, says, just find a church. You'll find some friends. So she moved to Rosedale, put in Facebook, Rosedale Church. My church is Rosedale Baptist Church. And guess what popped up? So she came to my church, still is not saved. I've met with her twice now, got to study sign language. I've been learning Honduran sign language and starting to share the gospel with her. She's not too excited about it, doesn't know a lot about it, but God is starting to work in her life. So that's been a huge, huge blessing. And not only that, God's timing is perfect. I just came back from Honduras 2 weeks ago, and there, it was for a medical trip, but there I met a deaf woman who was educated, therefore knew Honduran sign language, and I said, I showed her the sign for Jesus, and I said, Jesus, you know? And she said, Jesus, I've seen that sign, but I don't know what it means. So I was able to explain to her in her language who Jesus was. So what a privilege. God is greater, and God knows what he's doing. So thank you so much for your prayers. Keep them up.
Okay. To live unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. Oh, if you all knew what a crybaby I am, but you probably figured that out, you'd know how hard it is for me to follow something like that. There's something so beautiful about sign language, just really always touches my heart. But I just want to thank you all for this wonderful conference, for the generosity of your church and your pastor. I've just been so moved all week. Especially even just those of you that have gathered around and asked me so many questions, because y'all know Kmaw loves to talk, and I love to talk about Africa, and sadly enough, that doesn't happen in a lot of churches. I've been to some where I present, and they just kind of shake your hand and wander by your table as they leave, and it's always such a blessing to get to share. And like Marie, I kind of thought about what aspect of my testimony I would share. You've heard several aspects of it, but one thing I thought I would share with you a little bit tonight about is my career. I am a CPA by training. I spent over 20 years as an auditor, which I think is only like the third most hated profession after dentist and lawyer, something like that. But that's essentially what I did for 20 years for large accounting firms and large companies. And that tells you a lot about my personality. I'm a very checklist person. I'm a skeptic. I'm very skeptical, and you can ask my children. They know that, too, having been raised by me. But essentially, my life was, here's the checklist. Go and make sure that everyone is following it and let them know what they're doing wrong. That was pretty much my life for 20 years. I was a problem solver, and I was a fixer, and that's what I did. And as I sensed God starting to work in my heart, I wanted that checklist. I really did. I wanted to know where was I going to be, what was I going to be doing, check, check, check. That was my personality. But one thing that really moved me is there was a couple that came to our church, and they were on their way to Zambia. And both of them were optometrists by training, making six-figure salaries, and they're from the Atlanta area. And the husband had reluctantly gone on a missions trip, and there God changed his life. And as I listened to their testimony, God used that in my life, that they were willing to walk away from their careers, to go to the fields of Zambia and to take their family there. And out of all the missionary presentations I've seen, that one really, really stuck with me. And so when my time came and I started, questioning God and wanting that checklist, he reminded me of that couple and all that they were willing to give up. And I think that many times in our lives as Christians and especially as Americans, that can be a real barrier to people surrendering and doing what the Lord would have them do. So if any of you are there, if any of you are 50-something with a lucrative career and you're thinking, oh, no, no, Lord, I don't want to surrender, I just want to just be an encouragement to you of just the things that God has shown me. And many of you have asked me that question. You say, as a single woman, is it harder to raise your support? And I believe it is. It's harder for a single woman. And then on top of that, I'm also divorced, which can sometimes be a hindrance. But I really wouldn't trade the last 3 years for anything. It was 3 years ago this very month that I was at my very first missions conference. And God has taught me so much over the last 3 years about setting my checklist aside and setting my plans aside and setting everything aside that I can't tell you how many times I think, oh, yeah, that's how I'm going to do it. That's how I'm going to do it. And it would just completely fall apart till I finally just stopped trying to figure it out. And as I've stopped trying to figure it out, God has just thrown open doors that I really can't imagine. I think of Ebola. If I had been there any sooner, because of that disease, I would have likely been sent back home. I've also had the opportunity to raise funds and help my friends over there get through the Ebola crisis. So, it's, again, where I was so anxious to go, God knew I needed to stay behind just a little bit longer. And where's Joy's parents? Where are they at here? The pastor that prayed, Joy Clemens? Oh, I'm sorry. She told me to tell you hello. But I even think about Joy and Jared. I don't know if you all knew this, but I went to a mission conference in Rhode Island, Pastor Amsbaugh's church, and I stayed in the same home with Joy and Jared. So I had just a wonderful time of fellowship with them and got to know them. Well, they told me about a pastor in Louisiana that already worked with people in Liberia. And I contacted him. And now that has led to even other open doors. I think I've shared with some of you on the 4th of February, with only 2 weeks' notice, I'm leaving for Liberia for a 3-week trip. And I just think just things like that God orchestrates in your life once you do surrender to his call. And, you know, just like they, you know, just like you've heard so many people say, just step out of the boat onto the water and God will reveal his plans to you. So I hope that's an encouragement. And there's just one final thing I do want to share. Sometimes I forget to do it. I think I've shared with some of you the painful background I've had, the fact I grew up with a father that was an alcoholic, my ex-husband was an alcoholic, but I often I miss the chance to tell people that 3 years before he died, I was able to lead my father to the Lord, and that God healed that relationship. Since I was saved, I've seen my mother get saved, my sister and her husband, my niece and nephew. I've seen my family been healed from so many painful things. And even this summer, my daughter, for the very first time, got to share the gospel with her father, my ex-husband. So God has continued to show himself good and merciful, and I'm just so thankful. I shared with the ladies this morning, 20 years ago, I would have never believed that I could thank him for everything I'd been through, and now I just thank him for every moment of it.
Julie's going to Liberia to work with a pastor there who is a Liberian pastor and pastors a church there in Liberia. And they have a school and all those things. They have a desperate need, which is desperate everywhere in the world, and that's water. Flint, Michigan's realizing that right now. And they have a well, but because of the drought recently, it's not deep enough and the well has dried up. And I don't know, it seems like, what was it, about $1,000 to take it on down? And okay, they need a pump. They need to go a little deeper, and they need a pump. Now, whenever you're talking about a pump, you're not talking about in something that kicks on and goes like that. You're talking about a pump that goes like this. But some of you remember those days. I remember those days back in the country. And you don't want to lose the prime on it. You don't want to lose the prime. But some of you younger ones say, what's that all about? What's that all about? I don't know how to explain it, but you don't want to lose the prime. So wouldn't it be good if we could just take care of that little need, $1,000 for them to have water? Wouldn't that be... that's kind of an inexpensive thing for us to do, I would think. If you're in favor of that, would you say amen?
Amen.
All right. We'll do that. We give it to you or send it to your board or what?
I'll give it to me and I'll send it to Christmas.
So we'll try to get that done tonight, Barbara, if you'll see to it. She'll be back through here on Wednesday. She'll be back through here on Wednesday, so we don't have to do that right now. We'll see to it that you have it. I don't know. Let's go on tomorrow night. Let's get some more missionaries in here, and let's go on tomorrow night and have some. The song the choir is going to sing, unless you've changed it, just moves my heart. As so send I you from our perspective, and this from God's perspective, the value of one. The value of one.
Thank you.
Let's stand together. What number is it, Brother Mark?
670.
670. 670. Make me a blessing. This may not be real familiar to you, but you need to know it. A grand, grand old song. Number 670. Sing it with us now.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing.
Jesus came into my heart. What a wonderful change. We won't sing the whole verse and everything, but I want you to start on the chorus. Now, it's a little high, and it says, sense. Got it? Get up there and sing it. All right. You got the word, don't you? Sense? All right. Here we go. Sense.
Jesus came into my heart.
Greet those around you as the choir comes down, and we'll get ready for the offering. Find somebody you don't know. Introduce yourself. Welcome our visitors.
Might have to go on memory on these if I don't find my sheet in time. All right, here we go. Just a reminder, tonight will not be the youth activity that's postponed until next Sunday night, so be prepared for that. Young people, if you will go to my house. next Sunday night, which means Voices of Victory, you didn't get out of practice. You got practice tonight, but you won't have it next week. Okay, so I still got you out of the practice. You owe me big. Okay, 2 weeks from tonight, February 7th, is Super Bowl bowling night. $5 includes your shoes and all the bowling until 10 o'clock. So as soon as the service is over, you can't go before the service is over, though. They won't let you in. Okay. Patrick will be there to knock you out if you try to get in. He's going to man the door. No, he'll probably be inside bowling or something. No. Come out there and join in. We always got a packed house over there. So come and enjoy the time with us. $5 until 10 o'clock. It's rented out to the church. Church has it for the evening. Bus ministry visitation, didn't mention this morning, 9:30 a.m. on Saturday mornings. Be a part of that. Search the Scriptures. We're going to have two discussion meetings to wrap up our month in Hebrews 11. Man, just reminded again of the significance of that chapter. And just every time I read it again and again, I'm just going, wow, how am I missing so much that's here? But that's the beauty of the Word of God. But we're going to have two meetings to wrap up our month. 10 o'clock this Friday morning. If you'd like to come out at 10 o'clock, we won't do a meal. You can have lunch after we're done. But we're not going to provide a meal like we do on Sunday nights and some of the other nights. But we will meet also on Monday night. In that case, we will have the normal sandwiches and everything on Monday night because we meet right around supper time, which will be at 6 o'clock. So Friday at 10 a.m. next, or a week from tomorrow night, which is Monday at 6 p.m. So either one or both. And please come out, dig in, study God's Word, and come share with us what you learned. Thank you.
Back in the book of Obadiah this Thursday night, moving right on through the 21 verses of the book of Obadiah. Ushers, come forward if you will. Good to see Bob Dickinson here tonight. Glad you're able to be back in service. God bless your heart. Glad you're here. John Cordes had surgery this week, and he's back home. Had a little difficulty, but he's back home now. Anita got in yesterday, last night, and texted me a couple of times today, having some pain, but thrilled to be through the surgery and on the road to recovery. Pray for Tom Fagler. He'll be having some surgery tomorrow. And so appreciate that, that you'll pray for him. Remember him as he goes into that. If you have your faith promise card to fill out and put in, put that in the offering tonight. And maybe if we can do this, fellas, if we'll pull these cards out, and kind of add them, if you will, to the total that we have so far. Okay? Okay. Or just give me the total from tonight and I know what we have so far. Okay? Father, thank you for this good conference, for this good day. Lord, for placing us under a burden. Thank you for that, Lord. I pray that we'll be sensitive enough to you, for you to be able to speak to our hearts and bring us under a burden. Father, I thank you for the music. What a wonderful night of music we've enjoyed here. And Father, for the testimonies. I pray your continued presence and power upon us. And give us what we need, Lord, of your Holy Spirit to fulfill the work that you've set before us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, orchestra. God bless you. The ladies' ensemble, they're going to finish with the song that we started the mission conference with. Listen to the words as we've sung the chorus, but I want you to listen to the whole song, People Need the Lord.
I can't see it.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you so much. I don't know. We had Kai singing solo tonight, and we had her son Ben singing solo this morning with Voices of Victory. I don't know. We're gonna have to get Dan up here. Tell him I said the next thing we're gonna have Dan up here singing solo. And Matt, come right on if you will. Another 9,516 per year in tonight's service. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? So that goes right at 224, isn't it? 224, I believe. And we're just 26 away from a quarter of a million. We ought to do something. I didn't see the prawns until right now. It's good to see you all here tonight. This is Matt's grandparents on his daddy's side. And right here, raise your hands. They're looking all over for you right here. Right here. They live over at Edgewater. They go to Indian River Baptist Church. Judson Douglas is the pastor. How many years ago did you and Bob come into the driveway up at the office? About 17 years ago, they drove into the driveway at the office. I went out, stood on the driveway, talked with them, and prayed with them. And because of that meeting, Indian River Baptist Church has been going now for 17 years. Interesting also, Voices of Victory are going to be over there with you all on Wednesday night of this week. They're going to be over there doing a concert at Indian River Baptist Church on Wednesday night this week. That's why I'm glad Brother Aaron canceled his meeting at the house so we can have a final practice before that concert. We're going on tour June the 11th through the 18th. That's the first time any Voices of Victory have heard that date. June 11th through the 18th. We're going on tour. I was thinking about working our way to Petersburg, West Virginia. Come up there and knock on doors or paint rooms or do whatever you would want us to do. Mow grass, pick up around the place, and then have a service one night or two nights or whatever. And have the kids sing. You never can tell. People in a city like that might turn out to hear teenagers. To hear teenagers sing. If you don't want us to come, it's okay to say no. Some of you might want to go. You can fly Allegiant out of Sanford. You can fly Allegiant into Clarksburg, which is how far away? 2 hours. That's not bad. Let us get there first. We'll bring bus, come pick you up. And it's about $100 round trip, something like that. And we'd go up, and I think we'd get more in Petersburg. We'd get some of the surrounding counties. In West Virginia, we say creeks and hollers. Creeks and hollers. Up the creeks. It's not a creek. It's a crick. Up the creeks and hollers. And I don't know, but I'm thrilled as you're going to Petersburg, West Virginia. I already looked it up on the map. I've already done it. It's 12 hours and 45 minutes drive time. But we'd stop a couple of places on the way up, a couple of places on the way back, and do some other concerts on the way up and on the way back and in some churches. And already got some of those things lined out, and everything would be no problem whatsoever. But I don't know. I just get stirred up in missions conference. I want to do something. I want to build something, tear something down, or turn around, or do something. I don't know. But Brother Matt, I don't know. I don't know what you can say in 2 minutes. But whatever you can say in 2 minutes. But we've had a good time together this evening. Tell us about what we're looking at, and then go ahead and preach to us.
All right. Thank you so much. It's been an honor to be here, and you all have already invested some in the building that we're going to be able to lease. Here's a picture of it. A year ago, we began to pray very specifically that God would allow us to be able to get a standalone building in Petersburg that we could use every day. Not that we'd have to take down and set up something that's by itself that we could use every day, that we could have groups like that. We could have vacation Bible schools, Bible clubs, all that kind of thing. And Petersburg is a small town. It's a nice town. It's not run down, so there's not a lot of empty run down buildings, which is good for the town. But my wife and I were driving around, and we came across this building, and two banks merged. And this is the bank that got bought out, and about 10 years ago, it just got put into use as a storage building. And there's not a lot of stuff in there stored. But we began to make some contacts, and they were willing to sell it or lease it, and we were able, it was really just the Lord. It was a miracle. The figure that he gave me first, how much per month it would take to lease this building, was about three times what we could afford. And so we just started praying about it, and I told him what we could do, and just God's grace, it got it down to where we need it to be. So you see on top, it's a very nice building. It was built in 95. It's not a very old building. Brick, it's two-story, 3,250 square feet. The picture on your left is the downstairs, and all that stuff can be moved out. Those are the teller desks and things like that, and a lot of other stuff will be taken out, put in another storage that the bank owns. And then the one on your right is the upstairs. The upstairs is actually a little more open than the downstairs, but there is stairs there. So that can be used for fellowship area, junior church, nursery space, Sunday school classes. And so really God just gave us exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. This is if you were looking at a map, this is a perfect, absolute perfect location in Petersburg. It's as about an easy building to find as there is in town. And there's a paved parking lot with about 30 parking spots all the way around it. And the bank that bought it is right next to it, who are leasing it off of. And, of course, they're not open on Sunday, so that can be used as overflow parking if we need it. And so it's an amazing thing to think about. And I want to thank you all for voting and going ahead and investing in this. That is just an absolute answer to prayer, and we thank you so much. And but now that we've got that prayer answered, now there's a whole lot of other set of prayers that we need to pray about. And my wife and I will meet with the bank vice president on Monday, February 1st, to walk through the building, tell him what we want, what we don't want, sign the lease. And thankfully, that lease won't start till May 1st till we use it. We can get in there and renovate it and not have to pay until May 1st. So we praise God for that. And so now we're going to get in there and tear the place up and fix it back up. So what I'd like to do, hopefully, is after our first service or on our first service, take some pictures of the final project, email them to you, and you can show us or show the church there, and I think that would be an answer. So you pray about all that. We've got about 3 months to fix the building up, and so we're looking forward to it. And again, thank you so much. It's an exciting thing. Thank you for letting us be here. We appreciate it. We've had a wonderful time. Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. And I appreciate my grandparents being here, and we've got to spend some time with them in Edgewater. My four children have been driving them crazy all week, and that's probably not too much of an exaggeration, but they've enjoyed it, and I've enjoyed getting to spend some time with them. They have been nothing but encouragement to me. They moved to Florida 30 years ago, I guess, probably when I was 2 or 3 years old. And every time I talk to them, they're encouraging. They say, "We're praying for you. We're proud of you. We're praying for you. We love you." And that means a lot to me. And I tell people I am a third generation church planter. My dad started the Landmark Baptist Church in Looneyville in 1978, and my grandfather started just on the very beginning of the Indian River Baptist Church in Edgewater, Florida. He's not a preacher or pastor. But I'm certainly thankful for my heritage, and it's just a wonderful thing. And then it's good to have Bob and Connie Randolph back here. They're on vacation in Florida. They are faithful members of the Ripley Baptist Temple. And they told me this morning, we wanted to come over and see Pastor Reynolds. Sure, he's been to our church many times. We wanted to see it, and they said, we sat down and looked in the bulletin and saw your name, and we thought, what in the world is he doing here? And so they cannot escape any parines, and they try to get away, and I'm here, and I apologize. Miss Connie was all three of my oldest kids' very first Sunday school teacher, and they love Miss Connie. So Cole if you get in trouble, Miss Connie's right back there. She's going to walk up and thump you on the head, all right? And she would never do that. I guarantee it. She would never do that. But it's good to have them here, and I apologize that you have to hear me tonight. I'm sorry. And anyway, Luke chapter 24, if you have your Bible tonight. I'll try to be as very brief as possible. Luke chapter 24. Let's pray, and we'll get right into it. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight as we wrap up this wonderful week. God, our hearts have been stirred. You've stirred my heart. And Lord, this fine church has been an encouragement to me and my family. I thank you for them. Thank you for their willingness to give and their willingness to be involved in what you told us to be involved in this area of missions. Thank you for these other missionaries that we've met and have been encouraged and to see their burden and see how God is at work all throughout this world. And God, as we conclude this tonight, thank you, Lord, for what we've already heard in this service. And Lord, I pray that you would help our attention now to be on your word. And God, help this simple truth to help us tonight. Lord, this truth has helped me and has been an encouragement to me. And Father, I pray that you would use this to encourage others as well. And we're grateful for who you are. I pray that you would use me tonight to be a help and encouragement. In Christ's name that I pray. Amen. Luke chapter 24. I love missions conference. Really, as growing up in a pastor's home, I've been involved in many missions conferences over the years. And even in the last year, I've been in several. In fact, this is the third missions conference that we've been in with Marie. And we've been in one in Maryland, one in Virginia, now in Florida. And I don't even know her. And she's just following us around. We know each other now. And so it's a small world. But I love missions conferences. And I like the emphasis that is placed upon missions conferences. As I mentioned the other day, we must place the emphasis where God places the emphasis. And if the emphasis is on the gospel and getting the gospel to a lost and dying world, then we ought to place that emphasis, not just during missions conference week, but 365 days of the year, no doubt about it. And as we come to this part of Scripture, it is probably the least known passages of what we know as the Great Commission. We know very well Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things, and Lord, I'm with you always, even in the end of the world." We understand that. Mark 16:15, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Acts 1:8, "Ye shall receive power and go into Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth." Those are more well known than what we find here in Luke chapter 24. But I think there's some very, very wonderful truths and very helpful things that we can find in missions. Luke chapter 24 starts with a wonderful day in history where Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I'm thankful that Jesus Christ is alive today. I'm thankful that he died for the sins of mankind, past, present, and future. I'm thankful that he gave his life a ransom for all. But I'm also very thankful that he rose again from the dead. And now he lives at the right hand of the Father making intercession for you and me. That was a wonderful day when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And then the Bible says after that, he appeared unto Mary Magdalene, Mary, the ladies there, and he told them to go tell the disciples, his disciples, what had happened. They went and told them, and they didn't believe, and the Bible says that Peter and John came, and John stooped down. Peter ran into the tomb and found the folded linen clothes there and did not find Jesus Christ, and yet they were still wondering what had happened to Jesus, even though Jesus told them what was going to happen. They were still doubting. And the Bible says, we'll pick up reading, and we'll not read the whole chapter, but we'll just kind of hit some highlights and fill in some gaps. But the Bible says in verse number 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." To make a long story short, they had a conversation. These two disciples had a conversation just walking along with Jesus, and they didn't even know it was Jesus. And they were walking along, and Jesus said, "Why are you so sad?" And they said, "Well, because Jesus died, and we believe that he was the Messiah. We believe that he was the one that would redeem us from our sins. And now he's gone, and this is the third day, and he's still dead." Jesus, the Bible says, we'll read in verse number 27, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus took the Old Testament and told them the things that had already happened. The Bible says that finally, in verse 30, it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. They said we couldn't believe it. It was him right there with us the whole time. We didn't even know it. The Bible says that he left, and then he appeared to them in another time, and the Bible says that he told them, peace be unto you. They touched his hands, and they touched his side, and he began to talk with them, he began to eat with them. And the Bible says in verse number 44, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And said to them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Here's a great commission passage of scripture right here. He said this in verse 47, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. This was the command to go unto all nations. But I want you to look three times. There's a word and a phrase three times found in what we just read. And we're going to connect this here in just a minute. But I want you to notice in verse 31 where the Bible says, and their eyes were opened. The very end of verse 32, the Bible says, and while he opened to us the scriptures. In verse 45, it says, then opened he their understanding. This word open means to fully open or to completely open their what they knew and what they could understand. And he opened these things, and then in verse 45, that they might understand the scriptures. That literally means that they might put it all together. Put it all together. I want to speak just for a few minutes on the puzzle of missions. In this past, I'm not much of a puzzle worker. Any puzzle workers in here? You like to work puzzles? I'm not much of a puzzle. About the extent of my puzzle workers are the ones that are in my living room that my two-year-old works. That, you know, you put the cow on the cow and it moves. You put the horse on the horse and it neighs and all that. That's about the extent of my puzzleness. But I'm a puzzled individual, no doubt. But these men, as they were walking through, they had all the whole truth of everything that had just happened and all the things that were going to happen. Jesus had given them everything. But they were walking through puzzled, not sure what was going to happen next. And in another passage of Scripture, the Bible says they were hiding in a room for fear of the Jews. They were afraid that the Jews were going to come and do the exact same thing to them that they had just witnessed them do to Jesus. And they were puzzled, and they had it all, but they were having trouble putting it all together. You know, in this missions conference, these last 4 or 5 days that we've been together, you and I have been given all kinds of truth. Man, we've been grabbing it this way and this way, and we've got it all right here. We've got everything that we know that God wants us to do. And tonight on this closing service, what we would like to try to do tonight is just kind of take that puzzle and put it all together. The first thing I want you to look at is this, found in verse number 32. The Bible says, and they said one to another, didn't our heart burn within us? While he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures. The first thing he did, he opened the scriptures to them, and it answered the question of why. You know, as we think about missions, we think about why should we be involved in missions. And look, if you've committed over $200,000 this year in missions, and as you're giving out money, and as you're starting churches, and as you're sending out missionaries from here, probably we all understand why we are to be involved in missions. But a lot of times it's good to have a reminder of why we have the emphasis on missions, and why we have an emphasis on soul winning, and why we have an emphasis on serving the Lord. And the Bible says that Jesus opened to them the scriptures. Now, here's what the scriptures do. Look what the Bible says in verse number 46. Jesus said unto them, Thus it is written. This is the scriptures. Verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved, or it was needful for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. You know what the Bible tells us? The Bible tells us what Christ did for us. I mean, we heard it very plainly this morning. There's half the world doesn't even have a Bible in their language. And if they don't have a Bible, then how are they going to know what Jesus Christ did for them? Man, what a ministry. I mean, can you imagine? I don't know how many Bibles I have in my possession. I have no idea. But can you imagine not even having a Bible written in your language? And if we don't have the Word of God in a language, then they don't know who Jesus is. And the Bible tells us what Jesus did for us. And when we read the Scriptures, when the Scriptures are open and it shows us what Jesus did for us, it tells us why we are to do what we do for Him. You know, our motivation ought to be because of what Jesus has done for us. There's a lot of different motivations. Some people serve the Lord out of fear, and fear of if we don't serve God, what might happen. And no doubt that is a motivation, but that's not our number one motive. Some people serve the Lord out of reward, that if we serve God, He'll bless us and give us what we need. And no doubt that may be a motive, but that's not our number one motive. Some people serve the Lord out of duty, because that's just what we're supposed to do. But that's not our greatest motive. Some people serve the Lord because of a need. They see a need, and that's wonderful, but that's not the greatest motive. As Jesus Christ opened the Scriptures, He answered the question why, that Jesus Christ must suffer and rise from the dead. We find in Isaiah 53 that years before Jesus Christ died, Isaiah the prophet said He was wounded for our transgressions, He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. When we read that, it ought to motivate us to serve Him. I want you to hold your place very quickly and go to Romans chapter number 5. Romans chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 6, For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We know these verses, but I want you to think about it just for a second. The Bible says in verse 7, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. You know, there are people that we all know that we would not have any trouble dying for. You know, I love my family. And I'm pretty sure, I can confidently say this, if it came down to my life or their life, I could honestly believe that I would lay down my life for my family because I love them. And you have people that you're thinking of right now, you would have no trouble giving your life for people that you love and for people that love you. You know what? There are people in this world that I would probably have a lot of trouble giving my life for. You know what the Bible says about Jesus Christ? But God commendeth, God demonstrated, God proved His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, Jesus Christ did not just die for the people that loved Him. Jesus Christ died for the people that hate Him. And Jesus Christ loved them enough that even though they hated Him, and even though they could spit in His face, and even though they hate everything about Him, He still loved them and died for them. That's a love that I can't understand. And that's a love that I cannot explain. But that's the love that Jesus has for you and me. And that love for us, the Bible says we love Him, 1 John chapter 4, because He first loved us. And that love that He has and has demonstrated for us is what motivates us to be involved in this area of missions. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, for the love of Christ constraineth us. That means it holds us together, but it also means it pushes us or compels us to go. And the greatest motivating factor that we can find in all of the Word of God or in all of life on why we are to be involved in missions is the very thing that when we open the Scriptures, we find what Jesus did for us. And you say, why do we do all this? Because of what Jesus did for us. Back in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse 47 that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations. You see, why we do what we do is to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. You know, the truth is, when we go to Petersburg, West Virginia, it has nothing, really, honestly, it's not about Petersburg, West Virginia. And it's not about the South Branch Baptist Church. And it's not about the Perrine family. And it's not about the people that live there. What it's all about is the name of Jesus Christ being lifted up in a place that needs His name lifted up. And when we serve the Lord, it's not about us. And it's not about what we can do. And it's not about how much money we give or how much we can do or how long we can go or how far we can go. Really, what it's all about is bringing honor and glory to our Savior, Jesus Christ, because of what He's done for us. Bible says in Luke chapter 24, He opened unto them the Scriptures, and He answered the question why He spoke to their spirit. The second thing I want you to notice is this, back in Luke chapter 24. In verse 45, the Bible says, then opened He their understanding. This answers the question what? The Bible says there in verse 47, here it is, and that what is supposed to be done? We know why we are supposed to do it, but what is supposed to be done? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. What are we supposed to do in the area of missions? We are to pray, give, and go. That's what we're supposed to do. But you know, Jesus didn't just open their, what it means to open their understanding, He appealed unto their intellect. He appealed what they knew and what they could learn. The Bible says, look in verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them all the Scriptures. You know what He did? He appealed unto what they had learned. He appealed unto their intellect or their learning, their knowledge capabilities. In verse 44, the Bible says, He said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you. He appealed unto what He had already taught them on what they should have remembered. You know, I believe in our heads, we know what to do. We know we're supposed to go into all the world. But here's the challenge, knowing what to do and actually getting it in here and actually going and doing it. You know, I heard about the unreached people groups. And I thought to myself, I know what we are supposed to do. I just need to know how to do it. And that's where it comes from, a head knowledge to really getting in our heart and really going out and doing it. Jesus appealed to their intellect, what they knew. Then He appealed into their emotions. You know, God gives us emotions. God gives us feelings. Some people are way more emotional than others. Jesus Christ appealed to these disciples' emotions. The Bible says in verse 17, the very last phrase of verse 17, the Bible says, and are sad. They were sad. And then Jesus, when He appeared to them, the Bible says in verse number 41, and while they yet believed not for joy, He took their sadness and made it into joy. Man, that's appealing to emotions, isn't it? Our feelings. The Bible says in verse number 19, He said to them what things. They were sad, they were troubled. In verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace be unto you. He took their sadness and trouble and gave them peace. He turned sadness into joy. He turned trouble into peace. They said in verse 32, did not our heart burn within us? You know what that was? That was conviction. He appealed to their emotions. You know what? This week in our missions conference, what we've seen, God has stirred our emotions. God has given us joy about what we are hearing about what's going on around the world. But also God has broken our hearts and given us sadness about the need of multitudes. God has given us an excitement. I mean, we're excited. I mean, I think of this after a missions conference. Man, there ought to be never a time where more people go soul winning out of the Volusia County Baptist Church than after missions conference, because we're excited about going out and telling people about Jesus because our emotions have been stirred in this missions conference. Praise God for it. But He also appealed to their will. The Bible says in chapter 24 and verse 52, that they went out and worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. That worshiping means that they actually recognized God, for Jesus Christ, for who He was. And when we recognize Jesus for who He is, it will show us what we are to do for Him. Our vision of Christ determines our will to serve Him. Hopefully, after a missions conference, our will and desire to go and to be involved in missions is no greater than it is right now. And when He opened their understanding, and as our understanding has been opened this week, it answers the question of what we are to do. We know what we're to do. We're excited about it with our feelings and emotions. We have a will and we have a desire to go out and do it. The third thing, very quickly, back in Luke chapter 24, the Bible says in verse number 31, and their eyes were opened. He opened the Scriptures to answer the question why. He opened the understanding to answer the question what. But He opened their eyes to answer the question how. That question is answered in verse 48, and ye are witnesses of these things. Dr. Sexton always used to say, you have to be a witness noun before you can be a witness verb. What that means is we have to witness of what Christ has done for us. We have to be a witness of that before we can go out and witness to others about what He's done for others. And we know now we know how to do it. And basically, it's as easy as this. How do we do it? Well, we just go. We pray. We give. And as you've done that, and He appealed unto their senses. The Bible says in verse 16 that their eyes were holding. This was their sight. In verse 17, they were walking together. The Bible says in verse 17 also, they were talking together. This was their voice. In verse 30, the Bible says they broke bread and blessed it. Verse 39, Jesus told them to handle me and see. And He appealed not only to their intellect in another passage, but He also appealed to their senses. You know, we must employ all of our senses, everything that makes us us on the outside, to go out and to do what God's given us to do. The Bible says this, our bodies, we heard it the other night, are a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Everything that we are, we got to take what we are and give all of our efforts, all of our energy into this matter of mission. You know, the Lord made us, the Bible says, in His image. And I want you, and I'm going to wrap all this up. I want you to go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Just an unusual thought, but God's used this in my life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Bible says that you and I were created in the image of God. And not to get too weird or scientific, but this is a great truth that God's helped me with. The Bible says in verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The way that the Lord created us, He created us spirit, soul, and body. Our spirit is where, of course, the innermost, our conscience, the innermost, our Holy Spirit lives, the very innermost inside of us. And our soul is our intellect, our emotion, our will. Our body is made up of five senses. And God made us that in a complete individual. And the Bible says in this verse that all of those things need to be preserved blameless. That means, and I think what the Bible's talking about when we need to be mature and complete in Jesus Christ is when everything that God made us, how God made us, is all complete in Him. You see, we don't overemphasize one over the other. If we emphasize our body and neglect our spirit, then we're not right with the Lord. If we overemphasize our intellect and our emotions over our spirit or over our body, then everything gets out of whack, and God wants us to be complete in Him. And here's where the puzzle all comes together. Back in Luke chapter number 24, the Bible says that Jesus Christ opened up the Scriptures and He told them the why. That appeals to our spirit. And the Bible says that His Spirit bears witness of our spirit, and the innermost thing that makes us us ought to be a driving desire to follow the Lord because of our love for Him. Then the Bible says He opened up their understanding. He appealed unto their intellect, their emotion, and their will. And the things that we know and the things that we desire and the things that we get excited about, man, we're all revved up and we need to push all of those things toward the Lord Jesus Christ. This week, God, the Bible says that we have our body and in our senses and everything must work together. It ought to drive us to go and employ everything that we are, all of our energy, all of our everything that makes us us into this area of missions. But here's what happens after a missions conference. If we don't put it all together, and a lot of times this happens, and I've witnessed it in the lives of young people coming back from a camp. Man, they come back from camp or youth conference in the summer, and they're excited. Their emotions and their will are over the edge. They're ready to go out and win the world. And then it's like after that time drops off, and they kind of go back to the way they were. You know, in a missions conference, our Everything that we've heard this week has energized us and got us excited and given us a desire to do greater things for missions. But if we emphasize one over the other, and that's exactly what's going to happen. After this week goes off, then our excitement just kind of wears off just for a little bit. But here's what happens. Here's the puzzle that it all comes together. Like I said, I'm not much of a puzzle worker. But I understand as you work a 5,000-piece puzzle, you start with the outer edge. You start with the outer edge, and that represents our senses. That represents actually going and doing what God wants us to do. But if we emphasize going without emphasizing the why we're going, then our motivation is going to run out real quick. And then you work toward the inside, and that inside is what we can learn and our desires and our emotions. And when we put that together and it works all in the way God made us, but if we emphasize, if we're excited without going, then it really is not going to make a difference. Man, we're all excited, but if we don't go do something about it, it's not really going to make a difference. And then you work your way to the middle. And that's the way that God has made us, the innermost part, our heart, our driving force to serve God out of a love for Him. Now we've got the puzzle all put together. We don't emphasize one over the other, but when we put it all together, that's how we can actually make a difference in this world. After you put a puzzle, and I'll finish with this, after you put a puzzle together, many people like to frame it. And I assume I've never done this. I don't do this with the cow and the chicken and the duck. But after you work a big puzzle, you take shellac or you take glue or you take polyurethane and put it over top that puzzle to hold it together, to hold it in place. The very end of the book of Luke, Luke, of course, wrote this. And the first verses of the book of Luke talks about a man named Theophilus. And as we end the book of Luke, it's almost like it's continuing over into Acts chapter 1. Luke wrote the book of Acts, and if you'll turn there with me, Acts chapter 1, we'll finish with this. He said this, "The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen." This is just a continuation of what we just read in Luke chapter 24. The same writer to the same person. And he comes down, and here's what it is. Here's the glue that holds all of our, everything that has happened this week in our hearts, in our minds, everything that has happened, here's the glue that holds it all together. The Bible says in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses both in Jerusalem, unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." You know, when we put all of these pieces together, and we've got it all worked out, locked in place, we can't hold it in place by ourselves. We've got to have the power of the Spirit of God to seal it and to glue it and to hold it in place so that we can go out and act upon what we've decided to do here this week. We're putting all the puzzle pieces together. You know what? We'll never make a difference in this community, in this state, in this country, and in this world unless we have the power of the Spirit of God working and energizing behind us. You know, at the end of a missions conference, I think the greatest thing that we could do is say, "God, I want to do everything I can in missions, but I can't do it without your power. And I can't do it without your Spirit. And Lord, I want to put all these things that I've heard this week and everything, I want to put it all together, and I want you to seal it with the power of the Spirit of God. And then we go from here and literally from this church, change the world." The puzzle of missions, man, we've got all this right here from it. Man, I mean, my heart is full. And I've written things down, and I'm looking forward to going back and trying to just put it all together. And after we do that, man, let's not emphasize one over the other. Let's put it all together and allow the power of the Spirit of God to work through and in us. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Let me just ask a couple quick questions, and then I'll turn it over to the pastor. How would you say, you know what, this week, through a testimony, through a song, through a message, through just anything, through a verse that was read, anything, God has spoken to my heart this week in some way in the area of missions. Would you raise your hand all around and say, God has spoken to me some way this week in the area of missions. Praise the Lord. It's kind of hard to be around here and that not happen. You know, we're excited. That's wonderful. And we're ready to go, and that's wonderful. And we see what Jesus has done for us, and that's wonderful. Man, we need to act upon it and let the power of the Spirit of God help us. You know, I've seen conferences and camps and all these things. I've seen it. And it's almost like for a short time, man, everything is on a high spiritual level. And then it falls off. May God help us that our spiritual high this week will not fall off because we have the power of the Spirit of God working behind us. Father, I pray you would bless this simple message. Thank you for this conference and what you've done in my heart. In Christ's name that I pray. Preacher.
I want you to look right this way just a moment. I'm going to ask you to do something. Some of you raise your hands and say, God's spoken to my heart this week. I want you to write in the front of your Bible that you bring to church with you what God did in your heart this week. You don't have to do it right now, but tonight, before you go to bed, write down in your Bible what God did in your heart this week. Do you know that's one of the wonderful things about giving to missions? Is every week you write it down. You write it down. And where your treasure is, there will your heart be. Your heart will go right after your money. It will chase right after your money. It will do that. If you want your heart somewhere, put money there. Put money there. Your heart will go after that. You'll look at that. Let's stand together. What could I add to what's been done, what's been said, and what God's done in your heart? We're going to have one verse. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. If somebody has come into our presence tonight with this group here tonight, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, we don't want you to leave without having an opportunity to do that. Somebody here tonight needs to receive a believer's baptism. The water's warm. We can take care of that. Okay? I assume it is. I say that by faith. And if it isn't warm, we can get baptized in cold water. It would be good and cold today the way it was this morning. God has spoken to your heart about coming to unite in fellowship with this church. Now's the time. If you just need to come spend some time with the Lord, you can do that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. We're going to have one verse. God has spoken to you. If this is your time, at least take this time to think about what God's done for you this week and what you're going to write down in your Bible. And I hope you will do that. I hope you'll do that about how God spoke to your heart. Mold me. Put me in the mold. Make me after your will. While I'm waiting, yield it. That's the key. Yield it. Yield it and still. Missionaries, if you will, get to your table. I want you to go by, shake hands with them, encourage their heart, tell them you'll be praying for them, pick up a prayer card if you haven't done that already. There may be, I guess there's not any more of that praying through the 1040 window, but there are probably no more of those cards there. And while the missionaries are getting to their place, Voices of Victory, get in your place, if you will, right now, move. And then everybody else, you're dismissed. Thursday night, boy, he cut me off quick tonight. I tell you that right now. Thursday night, back in the book of Obadiah, Children's Music Academy, Youth Department, Youth Meetings, all those things going on Thursday night. Hang around as long as you want to, but you're dismissed.